Welcome back, everybody. Monday night Beis Medrash, we are finishing up our series on the Halachos of Kiddush. It's not a comprehensive series, so I'm maintaining the right to return to this topic later on in the future. I'd also very much like to thank Marshall Weiland and the Weiland family for dedicating our shiur and our refreshments tonight, the Ivoi Nishmas, his father, Yaakov Koppel ben Moshe Elchanan. Yaakov Koppel ben Moshe Elchanan, his neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
So today we are going to discuss the halachos of the Shabbos day Kiddush, and we're going to break our shiur again into two parts. First, we're going to introduce the mitzvah of the Shabbos day Kiddush and try to gain a little bit more clarity as to its character and what the ramifications are from how we define its character. That's going to be section one. Section two will be the topic of Kiddush b'makom suda. We're going to do that topic more quickly, but because it's so applicable and so relevant, I really couldn't do a series on Kiddush without at least touching upon that. So let's begin without further ado the first section. The Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, says as follows in source number one on your source sheets, Bayom Mai Mevarich. So what's the bracha that we say during the day? Amar Av Yehuda Borei Pri Agafen. You say the bracha of Borei Pri Agafen. Then the Gemara quotes a story. Ravashi ikla la mechuza. Ravashi visited the place of mechuza. Amru lei liktish lon mar kidusha rabba. So they said to Ravashi, make the great kiddush for us. Kidusha rabba. Havu lei. So they gave him a cup of wine. Savar my new kidusha rabba. What is this thing that they're telling me to do? Kidusha rabba, the great kiddush. I've never heard of such a thing. Amar michdi. So he said, let's see. Let's analyze this. Let's be a lamdin. Kol abrachos kulan borei priagofen amri berisha. Whenever we have a kos, whenever we have a kosal bracha, so we make borei priagofen. So, process of elimination. I know I'm going to have to say borei priagofen. Okay, so he said borei priagofen. Amar borei priagofen the agide, and then he pulled the fast one. He did a smart move. He lengthened the bracha a little bit. He waited at the end to see how people would respond around him. Chazei lahu saba the gachin vishasi. He saw a certain elderly man around him who started to bend down and drink on his own. So Rav Ashi called himself Chacham who sees into the future, for a person who's able to foreshadow. Meaning he was able to set up a situation where he would be able to infer based on people's responses what exactly was Kiddush Rabbah. What was the text here? What was he supposed to say? So he saw people responded. They started drinking. Clearly, just Borei Pri Agafen, just that bracha, was the Kiddush Rabbah. Now this raises a question. What Kiddush Rabbah, the great Kiddush? All you're doing is saying a Borei Pri Agafen. Like on any other, if I want to have a cup of grape juice right now, I also have to say a Borei Pri Agafen on a Monday night. I'm not going to call it Kiddush Rabbah. Why do they call it the Great Kiddush? So we'll come back to that question. Yeah, Reuven.
Isn't it possible that the people were just being polite and then they drank?
But the halacha is, as we'll see soon, that one is not allowed to drink prior to Kiddush. So it has to be, he was able to infer that this Kiddush was sufficient to fulfill the obligation of everybody around him such that they were able to start then drinking.
If he did it wrong, and then so it's not to embarrass him, would it be proper to then drink? Or is it proper to correct him? I mean, he was a great rabbi.
Right. But what they probably would have done was tell him, okay, you know, continue saying XYZ or whatever it is that he hasn't yet said. He's only said Borei Pri Agafen, and he could have said more. If there was more to say, they probably would have told him to say a little bit more. Yeah.
So, I think he's completely wrong. Every time we add stuff to Kiddush, we add it before the
Rabbah. Ah, okay,
and
interesting.
And so, they all knew that that's how he finishes.
That's true for Shabbos day. But
even
and what and we'll
even Shabbos night.
We say Vayichulu before Borei Pri Agafen. But what do we say after Borei Pri Agafen?
Right, so we had Hesha Shabbat. But of course, that's if you add another bracha. But if you make it a great bracha, great Kiddush, and you only have one bracha, you're going to be adding the stuff beforehand like we do.
So that's possible, but the response would be that if it was part of Kiddush, then based on the way that we do it Friday night, it would come after. Because what comes beforehand on Friday night is Vayichulu, which is actually said for a different reason. It's not really like part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's more our testifying to the creation of the world.
Okay.
Kiddush is really the bracha that comes after Bori Priyar Gafen. It's actually machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai how to structure the brachos. And you're saying, like Beis Shammai, that Bori Priyar Gafen comes at the end, but Beis Hillel says it comes at the beginning.
In the day, we have all the stuff beforehand.
So why is that? Right, from this Gemara, it seems like it's not even necessary, right?
It's not. It isn't necessary.
And it's not necessary. La halacha, it's not necessary.
That's
there you go. Exactly. Exactly. And many other people do. Many other people as well.
But if you're going to make it great, you say, all right, I'll add some interesting stuff beforehand.
Uh-huh.
Not afterwards.
Interesting.
Especially since after the bracha, then you have to do it right after the bracha anyway.
Right, except that in the Friday night model, that's where we have a contrast. Where you make the Bori Priyar Gafen and you say the bracha of Kiddush and then you drink. But I know, it's confusing in the way that where some people like myself do add to Kiddush, the Vishomru and Zachor, so that all comes before the Bori Priyar Gafen. So based on our contemporary practice, I understand what you're saying, that it should have come before. Yeah, Donnie.
First of all, it makes me feel much better about myself at this speaker, but I have no idea what
I said this story is bringing such simcha to everybody. It's great. Yeah.
Second, I thought that the wise thing, I think, was referring to the old men, because he realized that, the other stuff, it's nice to say.
Yeah, I don't think so. Says,
he doesn't know what to do, so he's got the absolute required part and he gets the
power. Right, I think Kari Anafshe means he called himself. Yeah. Okay, so let's try to get. Okay. So let's get into some of the analysis here. Okay, so what we have on our hands so far is that we are obligated to say Bori Priyar Gafen on Shabbos day, and then we call it Kiddush Rab. Now, why is it that we have to say Bori Priyar Gafen on Shabbos day? This is what we call the Shabbos day Kiddush. So why is it that we're obligated to do so? If you take a look at source number 2 from the Maharam Chalava, this was Rab Moshe ben Rab David Chalava. He lived in Spain in the 1300s, and he wrote a commentary on Maseches Pesachim. And he quotes from the Ramban, one of the earliest of the Spanish Rishonim, who wrote, "Sha'asur litom klum kodem kiddush zeh shel yom kamo bekiddush halayla." One is forbidden from eating prior to the Shabbos morning kiddush, just as he's forbidden from eating prior to making kiddush at night. That's the Ramban's position, and the Rambam agrees. However, says the Maharam Chalava, "Ve'eino mechuvar." This doesn't make so much sense. "De'ein zeh kiddush mamish." This is not a real kiddush. Why not? Shekvar niskadish hayom pa'amachas. The day has already been sanctified. When did you sanctify the day?
Last night.
We learned in our first shir that the Ramban was of the opinion that the whole nature of Kiddush is to sanctify the day. And says the Maharam Chalava, v'lo matzinu l'kiddush beisdin l'layla v'layom. We don't remember the Ramban's parallel to Kiddush, extra points, brownie points for anybody who remembers the comparison. What did
Kiddush
HaChodesh, very good, and Kiddush HaYovel, Dovi. So the Ramban compared Kiddush at night to the courts, the Sanhedrin HaGadola, at the Supreme Court, sanctifying the months and sanctifying the Yovel year, the Jubilee year. They don't do that twice. They only do it once. One time is enough. So if Kiddush on Shabbos is just like those acts of sanctification, then why are we doing it twice? So says the Maharam Chalava. And therefore, he concludes differently from the Ramban. He says, "Elo shehachachamim tiknu likboa su'udaso al hayayin." Says the Maharam Chalava, no, you got it all wrong. Bori Priyar Gafen on Shabbos day, we call it Kiddush. But it's not really Kiddush, quote unquote. It's not an act of sanctification or an expression of praise for the day. It's nothing like what we do at night. What we do at night, that's the biblical obligation. We do it, it's beautiful, and that's it. Come Shabbos morning, we have a different obligation that the Rabbanon instituted, which is that when we have our Shabbos day meal, it should be framed by a cup of wine. A cup of wine should be added prior to the meal to give it more significance, to give it more gravity, a certain sense of a certain aura around the meal. Likboa su'udaso al hayayin. So that this is not a happenstance, circumstantial meal, but rather I'm sitting down and I have my cup of wine that establishes that this is a very significant meal that I'm about to partake of. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos day, according to the Maharam Chalava. So essentially, we can break this down into two fundamentally distinct approaches as to how we view the Kiddush on Shabbos Day. Is it really Kiddush? It's just rabbinic instead of biblical? Or is it not really Kiddush at all? We call it Kiddush because it kind of looks like Kiddush. But what it really is framing one's meal, establishing one's meal on a cup of wine. Those are the two approaches here. And these two approaches are going to confront many practical ramifications. So overall, in the broader picture, the main ramification is as follows. Should the halachos, should the laws of Kiddush on Friday night apply to Shabbos Day? Well, if its nature is really that it's an additional Kiddush that the Rabbanon said to do on Shabbos Day, then I could argue that yes. I could say the Rabbanon patterned their mitzvah after the biblical mitzvah. And whatever halachos apply to the biblical mitzvah, we would apply to the rabbinic mitzvah unless otherwise proven. Or, if it's not really a Kiddush at all, so then why would I extend halachos, why would I extend laws from Kiddush to this? I'm dealing with two different animals here. So that's how we explain, number one, am I allowed to eat prior to making Kiddush on Shabbos Day? Okay, so I'm not dealing with here eating before davening. That's a separate issue. Okay, let's assume that you davened already. You davened Shacharis. On a normal Monday morning, I could go home and enjoy my favorite cereal. On Shabbos morning, I daven Shacharis. Can I do so without making Kiddush? So this was a debate between the Rishonim. The Ramban, we saw in the Maharam Chalava, held that one is not allowed to. However, others, including the Maharam Chalava himself and the Ravid, held that one is allowed to eat after davening, but before making Kiddush. And all that one would have to do is that when you eventually get to your Shabbos day lunch and you bring your bread to the table and you cover it, first you make a bracha on a cup of wine. Now, how do we paskin in that? So we paskin that one should not eat prior to making Kiddush on Shabbos day. And I'll come back and expand on that in a second. One other ramification, a fascinating question that Marshall and I were discussing a little bit before this year. So Talia and Talia. This is the first time that I was able to do that this year. So are women obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos morning? So let me ask you guys. When you're at home on Shabbos morning, do you make Kiddush before eating something? Let's say you're home and your husband is in shul.
If I daven, I will make Kiddush before I eat something.
Okay.
But I do eat before davening usually because I can't.
Okay. Great. Okay. Okay, awesome. So what Talia is basically telling us is that yes, meaning women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos morning, because otherwise why would you have to make Kiddush before eating some breakfast, before enjoying some babka, right? So the truth is that this was a debate in the Rishonim as well. The Maharam Chalava in source number 2, on the third line, says, Umina nami dinashim pituros mimenu kiman de'ino elamid rabban. Says the Maharam Chalava, that women are actually exempt from the Shabbos morning Kiddush. Now, we would never say such a thing about the Friday night Kiddush. That we've learned already, right? Because kol sheyashno b'shmira, yashno b'zechira. Anybody who's obligated to desist from the prohibitions of Shabbos, you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to plow, so then you're also obligated in the positive commandments of Shabbos, like Kiddush. So men and women are both obligated in Kiddush on Friday night. Can I extend that reasoning to Shabbos Day? Well, it's going to depend. How do I look at the Shabbos Day Kiddush? If it's a real Kiddush, so then maybe I should say yes. And so says the Pri Megadim in source number 5. He says, just as women are obligated to follow the rabbinic prohibitions, like muktzah, we don't move around muktzah, so too they're obligated to fulfill their rabbinic obligations, like Kiddush on Shabbos morning. However, the Maharam Chalava in source number 2 said, no, that's not applicable, because what we're dealing with here is not a real Kiddush. It's something totally different. It's just using a cup of wine to lend more gravity and stature to your meal. And for that, we should say, mitzvah saseh she'azman grama. If the Rabbanan told me to make Kiddush on Shabbos day, that's a time-bound recite the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen on Shabbos day, that's a time-bound mitzvah, and therefore women should be exempt from it. Everybody with me? Well, yeah, Dodi.
So I don't get this exactly where Maram Chalava.
Okay.
Because as far as men and women are obligated in the suit itself,
Yes.
And the Maharal Chabad said this is a din in
the Suda. It's a din in the Suda.
And the Suda, we should sanctify the Suda by making kiddush.
Right.
If it's a din in the Suda, and the chayiv in the Suda, why would it not be chayiv in starting the Suda with one?
Right. Okay. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I would surmise that the Suda has its own source, and we'll have another series on meals on Shabbos, has its own source, and then the Rabbanan came along and added something, you know, almost, yes, it's a din in the Suda, but it's almost that it has a life of its own, that one has to make kiddush, right? And
it's not extra.
Right, so to go to that degree, but it's a very good question. Okay, so those are two ramifications that we have. Number one, would one be allowed to eat before saying Kiddush? And number two, are women obligated in Kiddush? Number three. Rich?
Yeah.
Got it. Whew. Okay. So, Rich's point from before. What text should we say for Shabbos Day Kiddush? So here, who here said, besides Rich, says just Bori Priya Gofen? Whoa, from crap. Okay, so, okay, Talia does just Bori Priya Gofen. Avi Brick told me he does just Bori Priya Gofen. That's why he didn't show up tonight. He was too embarrassed. No, I'm kidding. he'll enjoy that on the recording, though. So I believe Rav Shechter does just Bori Priya Gofen as well. It's clear from the Gemara that just Bori Priya Gofen was enough, right? What? that's okay. So just Bori Priya Gofen is enough. Why would just Bori Priya Gofen be enough? Because that's the whole point of the Kiddush, according to one approach at least, right? The whole point of the Kiddush is not really to serve as a Kiddush, but rather just to have a Bori Priya Gofen prior to your meal. And even according to the other approach, that it's actually to have a rabbinic form of Kiddush, take a look at the Ran, that the Rabbanon purposefully distinguished this Kiddush from the Friday night Kiddush. Says the Ran in source number 4, we're all over Spain today. We have the Maram Chalava, we have the Ramban, and later Rabbeinu Nisim, who also lived in Spain in the 1300s. So says the Ran in source number 4, Ra'u Chachamim la'asos bayom zecher le'kiddush. They wanted to make a type of commemoration to Kiddush, almost like a double Kiddush. V'hainu borei priya gofen v'sulo. You say the bracha on wine, and that's it. Shehu haschalas kiddush alayla. That's just the beginning of the kiddush at night. That's all that they wanted to use, but they didn't want to use more than that because they didn't want to give the misimpression that this kiddush is greater than the Friday night kiddush. And you'll ask me, so why do they call it kiddush rabba? Why do they call it the great kiddush? Because at the same time, they wanted to be kind towards the Shabbos day kiddush, and it says it's a type of euphemism. He compares it to in Aramaic we call a blind person sagi nahor. Someone who has great light, someone who's able to see very well, which is obviously, unfortunately, not the truth, but we use it as a type of euphemism in order to, you know, try to be kinder. So too, with respect to Shabbos Day, we call it Kiddusha Rabba, so that, you know, almost to pay respect to it, even though it's such a short Kiddush. So based on that, we can understand why it's just Borei Priya Gofen. Where did this come from that people start saying Vishamru when they start saying Zachor, you know, Zachor Soma Shabbos Lakadsho? So if you look in the Kolbo in source number 6, this is on the Hebrew Mar Mekomos. This was Rabbi Aaron ben Rabbi Yaakov HaKohen, lived in France in the 1300s. So he is one of the first to write that Vinohagu HaKadmonim, that earlier sources wrote Shehayu Omrim Achar Kiddush Zeh Baruch Mekadish HaShabbos, that they said the bracha from the Friday night, but without Hashem's name. So you see what they were trying to do is almost like take the Shabbos day Kiddush and make it in more like the Friday night Kiddush. Clearly, they were motivated by the approach that the Shabbos day Kiddush is supposed to be, you know, mimicking, or it's supposed to be a mirroring of the Friday night Kiddush. And I believe that that's probably where the practice came from, that we add more psukim prior to the Bori Priya Gofen. Rich, your point still stands strong, that we do it before the Bori Priya Gofen. And I think the real reason why is because, I'll pee the Gemara, you're exactly right. All that we need to do is say Bori Priya Gofen. To say psukim after we recited that Bori Priya Gofen, that would be an interruption. But on Friday night, when the Borei Priya Gofen and the rest of Kiddush is all one unit, so that's where we follow Beis Hillel, that we say the Borei Priya Gofen first.
I was going to say before.
Sorry?
Whatever you want beforehand.
You don't want to do it beforehand because afterwards it's not have an interruption. It's not really part of it.
Right, but I'm saying like you
have 17 paragraphs before you, I would just say.
Correct. Right, right. But the question is like, why? Like, why do we add that? So I'm trying to argue that that's based on one of the approaches to the Shabbos Day Kiddush, which is also consistent with the way that we seem to paskin, because we do rule halacha lemaisa that one should not eat prior to saying Kiddush, and that women are obligated in Kiddush, and both of those points reflect that we're taking a more Kiddush based approach to the Shabbos morning Kiddush. Some people do, like Vaidabra Moshe's Mode Hashem or Elam Mode Hashem.
But,
yeah. I don't know. I'm not even sure where those came from, where specifically those paragraphs came from. I mean, I get the Shamru and Zachor talk about Shabbos, but, and I guess Vaidabra Moshe, you know? I'm not sure. Okay, so let's. Whoa. Wow. Okay. On the point, I want to add one more point because Talia raised it before about Kiddush for women on Shabbos morning when you're at home and your family or your husband's at shul and you're not having lunch until later and you want to eat. This happens every week in my house. So this is a question. So if you take a look at the Shmir, one point before I get to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. In source number 8, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Zayin, Lo Chol Olav V'chule. So the Shulchan Aruch wrote that that prior to davening Shacharis, there's no requirement of Kiddush. And that's why, since on a general basis, every day we're allowed to have a cup of water or a cup of coffee if it's going to help you wake up for Shacharis, you can have those before Shacharis any day. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you can do so as well on Shabbos. My Shabbos morning coffee is like Yehari Balyabar. That's it. Okay. So you could have it as well on Shabbos. Now, hold on a second. How come I don't have to say Kiddush? I thought I'm not allowed to eat anything before saying Kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch clarifies that since I haven't yet davened, it's not time yet for my meal. And when it's not yet time for my meal, the obligation of Kiddush doesn't set in. So there is no obligation of Kiddush to speak about prior to davening Shacharis. However, once I daven Shacharis, then I'm obligated in Kiddush. And I'll tell you a little snippet that I've pointed this out in the past. Sometimes you have bar mitzvah boys, and they want to have a cup of water or a bottle of water next to them while they're leaning. In my personal opinion, I think that they should have to make Kiddush first before they drink the water, because they've already davened Shacharis. The obligation of Kiddush has set in, and in order to drink anything, even water, one would be obligated to say Kiddush at that time. Now, if the Shulchan Aruch points out that if one is a chole, or one is really in distress, of course one would be allowed to drink without saying Kiddush, but it seems to me that most bar mitzvah boys just want to, you know, clear up the throat a little bit. I think for that, we really should be saying Kiddush. Yeah, question? Or I got it already. Okay.
It's
Shacharis. Yeah, it's Shacharis. Okay, so now that we have that piece of background, now we can get to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Classic work on Hilchos Shabbos in source number 9. So let's read it together. Isha sheregila lehispala tamid fila shacharis kodem shatocha. If a woman is accustomed to always davening shacharis before she eats, so then what would be the time for that woman when the mitzvah of Kiddush would set in? Only after shacharis, right? However, skip down a couple of lines. Many women rely on the position of the Rambam that davening all of shacharis is not necessary for them to fulfill their obligation of tefillah, but rather just an expression of any type of request, any type of beseechment would be sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. That's what the Rambam writes. And that's very helpful, especially for, you know, young mothers who are very busy all the time. So if you have a woman who usually relies on just saying a short request in order to fulfill, and then she has breakfast right after that, and maybe she'll daven shacharis later in the day, or maybe she won't get to it at all. But she makes the short request and then has breakfast. So then for her, for that woman, when would the mitzvah of Kiddush set in? I would say right after making that request, right? So that's what the Shmir Shabbos writes, that if you are such a person, then you should make Kiddush before having the breakfast. So if generally, you know, you do Netilas Sadaim and you say brachos, so you say Anatilas Sadaim and you say general Birkos HaShachar, and then generally you have breakfast during the week, so on Shabbos you should specifically make Kiddush prior to having breakfast. Because at that time for you, the obligation of Kiddush has set in. There is a tshuva from Rav Moshe who presents a possibility that maybe this is not the case, and that maybe the time when Kiddush should set in should be dependent on when the family is going to sit down to have their Shabbos meal. And if one's husband is in shul and you're at home, and then you're going to have your meal only at noon, so then your meal is really only then. So then when you're having breakfast at 8 o'clock, so then your obligation of Kiddush has not yet set in. He raises that possibility, but he rejects it in conclusion, and I believe most of the poskim hold like what this Shmir Shabbos says, that for a woman who, again, doesn't usually eat before davening all of Shacharis, she would make Kiddush prior to eating breakfast on Shabbos morning. So it was a good application of our learning from tonight.
What if she does the Sikkun and the husband davens later?
Wow.
What was the question?
What if she davens the Sikkun and the husband davens later? You guys up for the challenge? First of all, hold on. Who davens Masikin? She davens Masikin, so that after Shachar she should make Kiddush. Basically, it's what the Shmir Shabbos is saying is that it always depends on her general practice. So if she's of the ilk that she always davens Shachar before eating breakfast every day, so then she would daven Shacharis and then make Kiddush, and she could still have her coffee and water before davening Shacharis. But if she's of the ilk that she says something to Hashem and then has breakfast, and then if she gets around to it, davens all of Shacharis later, then she should really make Kiddush after that first expression of, you know, praise or request. Tal, you have a question?
I have a question.
Okay. Right.
Shabbos, then she
should,
then always say Kiddush, right? In the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what emerges from this.
Between the two, like sometimes she does just brachon or just right. That utterance, and then other right. Times she does everything before, and what should she do?
I think it's always safer just to make Kiddush. And then, because you always have the Rambam to rely on, that means she's relying on the Rambam sometimes, right? That amount of davening is sufficient. Yeah,
those. I just wondering, I've seen, I don't know, like this, that specifically on Shabbos, they always go to shul. They get a coffee and go to shul throughout the Shabbos. There's nothing necessarily in the week.
Uh-huh.
During the week, they would maybe daven later.
So should they make Kiddush before having the coffee on Shabbos?
Right, or maybe you say no, right. Because since on Shabbos, that's the chumah on Shabbos.
Right.
The mail of there's mom is after. That's
a great question. I'm not sure. I have to. That's like your case. Oh, okay. So it's a really good question. Honestly, my personal inclination is to say that it goes by the general approach, meaning that since generally we consider the Rambam's position, right? Since generally we accept the Rambam's position that you're going to say a little bit and then have breakfast. And then if you get around to a daven more fully later, so then for you, your time of Kiddush is right away. But I acknowledge that it's a good question because I see how it could change on Shabbos. Let's pose that to the higher ups. Blee Nether, I'll try to raise that up the ladder. Yeah. Okay. Again, as I always say, if anybody needs to leave, please feel free. I'm not insulted whatsoever. I'm going to try to spend 5 minutes. 5 minutes for me is like, okay. 5 minutes. Kiddush b'makom suda. Okay, here we go. There is a halacha in source number 10 that comes from the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, that when reciting Kiddush, whether on Friday night or during Shabbos day, one can fulfill Kiddush only when it comes within the context of a meal. Can't just say Kiddush and then that's it, you fulfill the obligation. Has to be adjacent, it has to be juxtaposed together with a meal. Why is that? So there are two different approaches to this question. And they're spelled out in the Rashbam, And Rav Schechter, in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, he has a beautiful portrait of this analysis as well. So basically, one way of looking at it is to say that this is a halacha in the Kiddush. That the Kiddush has to be upgraded, so to speak, by having a Suda attached to it. When I eat next to a Kiddush, so then I'm making that a Kiddush b'makom oneg. If you look at the Rashbam, he writes, v'karasa l'shabbos oneg. We're supposed to have joy on Shabbos, and we extrapolate from there, b'makom sha'ata korei l'shabbos. When you designate Shabbos, klomar kriya de Kiddush. When you recite Kiddush, shom tehei oneg. That is where your joy should be. That's where your suda, your meal should be. So what that's saying is that this is a halacha in Kiddush. That the Kiddush, for the purpose of the Kiddush, needs to be juxtaposed to a meal. The meal makes the Kiddush a Kiddush. Approach number one. Approach number two is to say the opposite. We could say it cutely. It's really not Kiddush b'makom Suda, but Suda b'makom Kiddush. Which means that whenever you have your Suda on Shabbos, it needs to be preceded, it needs to be framed by a Kiddush. The Kiddush is supposed to be the introductory note to a Suda Shabbos. So when you're having your Suda, a Kiddush needs to come before it. So is this a halacha really in the Kiddush, or is it about the Suda? Those are the two different approaches.
Really, really quick. Is it just once a day, once at night, once every day? Because Shalosh is another Suda.
Good, right. The Rambam has a striking view, according to some, that you should say Bori Priya Gofen and Shalosh Shudas, but we don't hold that way. So you are correct.
Yes.
Every meal. Yeah, I've argued that before. Yeah, but we'll save that for when we do our series on meals of Shabbos. We got to Shalosh Shudas. We'll talk about that. Okay. So these are the two approaches. Now, what might be a practical ramification between these approaches? Very, very relevant question. Which is, when I say that you have to have a meal, what type of food do you have to eat? That's a major question. So. If you look at the Gaonim quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Gaonim say that one can eat bread, drink wine, or the Magen Avraham adds, have mine mizonos. If you have mizonos type of appetizers, like the crackers, yeah, so then that would be sufficient according to the Gaonim. However, the Gra disagreed. And the Gra felt that one has to have his actual meal. Like, it's not enough to, you know, carry around a cookie and then, you know, make Kiddush and eat the cookie. Ah, Kiddush makom suda, I'm all done. No, that's not your meal. Where's the bread? Where's the chulin? Where's the salad? Where's everything? So according to the Gra, the whole idea of Kiddush makom suda is when you have your actual suda. What is the debate between the Gaonim and the Gra? Explain to Rav Schechter, it's exactly these two approaches to Kiddush b'makom Suda. Is this more about the Kiddush, or is it more about the Suda? If it's more about the Kiddush, so then I just need a significant food to uplift the Kiddush. So when I have my cookie, that's mizonos, that's a more significant type of food than, let's say, fruit or regular drinks like water or beverages. So when I have my cookie, that's a type of significant food that uplifts and upgrades the Kiddush. Right? I've connected Kiddush with a Suda. So that's sufficient. According to the Gra, this is about my meal. It's that my meal needs to have a Kiddush that precedes it. My meal needs to be framed by Kiddush. So therefore, whenever I have my actual meal, that's when I should say Kiddush. The Gra, we accept lehalacha, the Gaonim's opinion in Shulchan Aruch. And that's why when we make Kiddush in Shul, as part of the delicious spread, we also have some cakes and cookies. And what is incumbent upon everybody to do, in order to eat at Kiddush, is to take a kezias worth of mizonos. That's what we need to do in order to fulfill the halacha of Kiddush b'makom suda, because without doing so, we're not yotzei Kiddush. And if we're not yotzei Kiddush, then we can't eat. Because we can't eat after Shacharis before saying Kiddush. That's what we did in part one, right? So in order to be Yotze Kiddush, we have to have a kezias worth of mizonos. If you don't have the availability of mizonos, or if you're totally unable to eat mizonos, there is one other more bidi-evet option, but it can be used, which is to have another revius worth of wine or grape juice. That would also suffice when mizonos is not available or you're in a situation where you cannot eat the mizonos. Okay, so that halacha lamaisa, that's what we do for Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And as we've explained, it really all depends on these two approaches. Now, getting back to those approaches, Rav Shachter and many others, and in my family we have this practice as well, many are careful that even if they had Kiddush in Shul on Shabbos day, so you enjoy the Kiddush at Darche, when they go back home and they have their full meal, they say Kiddush again. Why do they do that? Don't you only have to say Kiddush once, according to the Rabbanon? Exactly. To fulfill the position of the Gra, to have the Suda that is framed by the Kiddush. That's why people will repeat Kiddush again at the full meal. Exactly. Or at least Borei Priya Gofen. It's not a bracha levatala because you're having wine, right? So it's a berkas hanehenin. It's a bracha that you make on benefiting from the food. So that can never really be a bracha levatala if you're going to eat the food.
Is there a Gemara in Brachos that says that you can always make
Kiddush
to somebody else because
Kodesh Ohr? Yes, afa pisha yatza motzi. That's correct. Which actually goes back to the first part of the shir, because another practical distinction between the two approaches as to whether Kiddush on Shabbos day is a real Kiddush or it's just a Borei Priya Gofen is whether our Arvus Yatza Motzi works. Because generally that doesn't work for a Birkas Hanen. I can't make a Borei Priya Eitz and then you eat the apple. That's not how it works. So if we view Kiddush on Shabbos day just a Borei Priya Gofen that I happen to do before my meal, so then I can't make it and you drink the wine. You have to make the bracha. Or at least I have to drink the wine also. Right? But if I view it as Kiddush, so then we could use Yatza Motzi as well. Yeah, Dovi.
Just going back to the Mara Rafala, it doesn't seem like the mainstream degree, but it's very interesting. The Chorah, he would certainly hold like the bracha when it comes to Shabbos day.
Because it's all based on the Suda. I understand that. Right. Dovi's making a very interesting and insightful point. He's connecting the two parts of the shir. Dovi's saying that if we view the whole nature of Kiddush on Shabbos day as being one of the Chachamim having established Kiddush on a Suda, and the whole point of the Kiddush is to frame the Suda, then that dovetails or coheres very nicely with the approach of the Gra, that Kiddush B'Makom Suda is about having a Kiddush right before your actual Suda. That's Dovi's point in linking those two together. Okay, everybody, so we did a lot tonight. We covered the nature of Shabbos Day Kiddush, whether we're allowed to eat before Kiddush, how do women go about making Kiddush on Shabbos morning, and we spoke about Kiddush B'Makom Suda in terms of what needs to be eaten and why it is that whatever needs to be eaten needs to be eaten, and whether we should repeat Kiddush at our Shabbos meals. Everybody have a great rest of the night. We'll be on hiatus for the next 2 weeks. I will miss you dearly.